VGMP.
What up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast, coming to you from Cyberpunk Studios in association with Impala Films. We are your hosts, Jamie Evans and Rory Jocelyn.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rory, by the way. That's Jamie.
And today is one of our special Run the Gauntlet episodes where we watch various shorter pieces of video game related work that aren't really long enough to warrant their own individual episodes, so we tend to group a few of them together in these little episodes. The title made sense the first time we did it because it was a reference to one of the things.
Run the Gauntlet, which was for Driver 3.
Doesn't make sense now.
We're running the gauntlet.
But Rory doesn't listen.
I liked it because it's like we're running the gauntlet of having to watch all these shorts.
Yeah, but we could have just named one after a new one each time.
Well, then we'd have had to call it Lineage. Which, people have gone, what does that mean? But Run the Gauntlet.
Could have called it Assassin's Creed.
I'm not sure we would have gotten away with putting that on Spotify somehow.
Ass Baby.
We could have called it Ass Baby, and then people would have been like, so what Ass Babies were in this?
Are we doing Mega Men?
Mega Men?
We could have called it Mega Men.
Men. Do it like a surname. Ron Megaman.
Megaman. So his last name.
Or anyway, in Japan, he would have been Ron Rockman.
Anyway, today we are gathering three little shorts that were released for various reasons, and we'll get into each one individually. And I've never seen any of these before, so it's going to be interesting for me. Today, we are going to be talking about Assassin's Creed Lineage from the year 2009, Mega Man X, Day of Sigma, obviously relating to the Mega Man franchise, and lastly is Ratchet & Clank,
Life of Pi.
Okay, now that's just a weird crossover. I kind of want to see that. I want to see a little robot and whatever the fuck Ratchet is fighting that big Bengal tiger.
Yeah, they call it Pi with P-I-E, though. Obviously, it is meant to be a reference to the film. Well, Ratchet & Clank Life of Pi was actually meant to be a pilot for a TV series that never got off the air.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
And technically, it's the second Ratchet & Clank thing because there is a feature film already.
I know, and it's one of those films that Ratchet & Clank's... Sorry, this is irrelevant, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Ratchet & Clank's one of those weird franchises in that when it first turned up, it was big. It was a big deal, Ratchet & Clank. And then I assumed they stopped making them because it basically, it just wasn't getting that sort of attention anymore. But when I looked it up, they've basically been cranking these games out more or less. More or less every year since the first one. Plus, there's a whole ass feature film that no one knew existed.
It's hard to find now as well.
Apparently it's garbage, according to what I've read.
It's basically the story of the game. Mm. It's not done in... It's not that cheap thing that they sometimes do where they just, like, edit the cutscenes together. It isn't that.
No, I know it's a film.
But it is still basically just the first game story as a film.
Right.
There's not much in it that's particularly surprising.
Yeah.
But that's going to be for when we review that particular film.
First one's Naughty Dog, isn't it? Ratchet & Clank, first one. It was their big franchise after Crash Bandicoot, or so they thought.
Yes. It's weird because it doesn't
instead, they ended up pivoting to The Last of Us.
To add something naughty about Naughty Dog, when it comes to Ratchet & Clank, the first game.
They stole it. What?
No. Some might say better, some might say worse than that. There's a particular world where you can enter yourself in for races.
Okay.
Like, I think they grind races or something like that. It's been a long time since I played Ratchet & Clank.
Grind.
And I think this still works on the remaster as well. If you go to... Basically, to enter the races, there's like this circular platform and there's a girl that you speak to.
Mm.
And she basically goes, yo, do you want to go into these races? And you say, yeah, whatever. Yeah. There's... A glitch. It was obviously done on purpose.
Right.
I can't remember the exact combination is, so you'd have to look it up online if you want to be pervy enough to do it. But if you talk to her and jump, I think, or like do backflips backwards, each time you do it, her boobs get a bit bigger. and they can get quite large, depending on how much backflipping you do. And, that's how Naughty Naughty Dog used to
and,
be.
And what's this available on?
This is available on any PlayStation.
Can I pick this up on Steam?
I have no idea. Bear in mind that I think it is a Sony-owned franchise, so maybe not.
I'll be right back.
You might have to buy yourself a PS5 now.
I'll be right back.
Bear in mind how they're considered nowadays with, you know...
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us and things like that. You know, they're trying to make it, you know, a lot more...
Mature. They're much more mature.
Yeah, let's put it that way.
Do you know what? I'm going to call it... I'm going to play The Last of Us this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it. And honestly, do you know what I'm expecting?
Go on.
To find that it's the most overrated game I've ever played in my life. This opinion comes from two things. One, the series. And two, how hyped Last of Us 1 is. Like, to be fair, it's almost hyped to the point where no matter how good it is, it can't live up to the hype.
I think by this stage, it probably is overhyped in that sense. I would say it's for not... If you would... To get the most out of it, you'd have to enjoy it as if it were a piece of direction and acting. The acting is incredible in Last of Us.
Yeah, we'll see.
Bear in mind, this game is like over 10 years old now.
Yeah,
well.
2012, so, I think it was.
So you're not going to get like, oh, this is like a brand new game. It is a little clunky.
That's fine. I mostly play clunky games.
Yeah.
Because I mostly play classic survival horror.
Ratchet and Clunker.
Anyway, let's get on with this because we're taking too long. So up first on the docket... It's Assassin's Creed Lineage.
A conspiracy by one corrupt family to overthrow the powerful Medici dynasty. And destroy a unified Italy. But there were still some who fought for justice. And followed an ancient creed. And it is with them that our story begins.
Okay, so we're here, we're talking about Assassin's Creed Lineage. This is a 30-odd minute short film made by Ubisoft themselves in promotion for Assassin's Creed Deux in 2009. What's your experience with the Assassin's Creed franchise, Rostifer?
Yeah, so the reason for picking the three that I've picked today is because it's three franchises that have either some or only a few entries into adaptations. But
we say, I thought you were about to say few games. I was like, dude, there's about a bajillion Assassin's. I honestly think there's been an Assassin's Creed game every year since 2007, I think.
Yeah.
There's like 30 of them.
Yeah, there's loads of them. But the Assassin's Creed franchise only actually has two official entries into this, into being adapted. This is being one of them.
What?
To be fair, Mega Man has a lot of adaptations. A metric fuck ton. I'm like, why are you producing so much Mega Man? And Ratchet & Clank also only has two, which, like this, is a feature film and a short. But we've never reviewed anything from these three franchises. My goal for season 5 of VGMP is to try and get as many franchises we haven't covered before in as possible. And even then, I couldn't get them all in. Like, that's how
finally, finally, Dynamite Heady's coming.
I wish. There is no Dynamite Heady. I wish.
Of course
there's
not.
I wish there was.
I met a girl in a bar who had some pretty dynamite heady. So Assassin's Creed is one of those franchises for me, being the plebe that I am, much like Grand Theft Auto, where... I'm not upset or angry that it exists, because it's none of my business. But I don't get why it's as popular as it is. I've played the first one.
Yep.
And at the start of it, I was like, oh, okay, cool idea. Nice to be able to do all the free running and all that sort of stuff. Oh, it's just the same three repetitive side quests over and over again. And if I do the main storyline only, then the game's done in about 2 hours. I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2. And I've played a teensy tiny bit of Assassin's Creed 3. To be honest, I've played so little of Assassin's Creed 3 that you almost can't count it. I think I played 10 minutes of Assassin's Creed 3.
Right.
I don't get it. Now, I have been told that that I should give one of the newer games a chance. I think Valhalla, someone said, is a really good one, right, which I'm assuming is all based on like Norse mythology and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the Viking one, yeah.
Because apparently Ubisoft have stopped making the maps empty, apparently.
Right.
But given that they crank one out every year, I can't imagine that.
Well, even if the maps aren't empty, like, how repetitive still are the side quests? My connection to the franchise, actually, I only played the first one initially. I thought it was okay, but I didn't finish it. It was like yourself, at first, like, this seems really cool, really amazing. And then the novelty just kind of wore off.
It does, doesn't it? The novelty proper wears off of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, and then, so I didn't play number 2 or 3. Or 4, or Black, I think, which is Black Flag.
4 is Black Flag.
Yeah, haven't played that one. I rejoined the franchise when I got a PS4, and they made the multiplayer one. Syndicate, the one before Syndicate. There's one set in France. Basically, it was one that they did where you could have a 4-player.
Mm.
Only online, it wasn't local multiplayer, sadly. That would have been fun. And at the time, I actually had 2 friends that had PS4s as well. It was relatively new console at the time.
All right, Rory, way to make the story unbelievable.
No,
you
I said
had 2 friends.
You've got to remember this was at the time, Jamie.
I'm joking.
I don't play games online anymore. I've got no friends left. So I played through this game. I was like, okay. Here's the annoying thing with that one. It starts off, you're in France, running around Paris, etc. Bear in mind, this is made in Canada. You're running around France. There's a few bits of French, but generally, people are speaking English. But in order to make it so it doesn't, you know, it's not just like, you know, modern actors talking, you know, it sounds like you're authentically there, even though they're talking English, they don't put people speaking French or in French accents. They have, like, really bad, stereotypically, quote-unquote, British accents. So you'll be running along, and you'll just hear this one going, "Ow! He's reached into my pocket and taken my money! Help! Help!" And you're like, "I'm meant to be in France! Like, what the fuck?
I thought Ubisoft was a French company.
They're French-Canadian. So they do have a base in France, and now, but they also have their main
Rayman's
base
a French game, isn't it?
Yeah. So they're a French Canadian company. So they have a base in Montreal, which is their main base now. But I still believe they have a French base as well. But it just seemed really weird that, again, you're like, this is a French Canadian company. If anyone should be able to bring in French people,
yeah,
like, what the fuck? Like, instead I've got this, "Help, he took me money."
Also, have they ever done an Assassin's Creed where you play as a woman? I don't think they have.
They have one that was a PSP exclusive. That's
that's the funniest thing I've heard since Black Adam.
Yep.
Tiger Gamecom sold more than a PSP did.
So because this particular game was a multiplayer, I went online with a couple of my mates, one of which was called Kurt. That's important for...
God, I bet you were unbearable.
You've played games with me, Jamie.
This is going to be a Rory ruins the game thing. And I found the perfect job for you, by the way.
Yeah.
The guy we know who works at Rockstar, his job is to deliberately break games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll give him, like, the new Red Dead Redemption or whatever.
Sure.
And his job is to run around trying to break through the barriers, trying to jump into walls.
Right.
And basically to find the bugs.
Right. I probably would be quite good at that, to be honest. So, yeah, we're playing online, and you start off when you spawn in on top of one of them church spires.
Mm.
And, you know, you have to do, like, the eagle.
Yeah.
Jump down into the...
into the hay bale.
Yeah. Which at a certain point, you're like, even if there is hay in there, you're hitting that with such force, you're dead anyway. Mm. So Kurt's in front of me on this little ramp that, you know, and you have to be right at the end of the ramp to jump into the hay bale. And it plays a specific animation. Well, he does it. I hear him go... And you get, like, you hear an eagle for some reason whenever you do it. The eagle sound happens. He jumps, does, like, the T-pose dive as he's going down. And I have to wait for him to finish before I can manoeuvre, like, to do the same thing. What happens instead is I press A, and I'm trying to hold up and press A, and it won't let me jump until he's completed the animation.
Mm.
Well, I must have been slightly off on the stick. So I've done a little hop instead, slightly to the left. He's gone, huh? Now I'm falling from an 8-foot spire. And I'm not doing the animation. And so on his screen, he's fallen, landed in the hay, gone, and as he's safely pulling out the hay bale, I've fallen full force into the tarmac next to him. But in Assassin's Creed, in this particular one, when you die in multiplayer, you don't die, like your friends have to revive you.
Right.
And it always does the animation of holding your stomach where you've been stabbed. No matter how you actually got hurt, it's always like, oh, my belly, I need help. So I've got to splat as in full force into the concrete. Mm. And then my character's on his back. His legs are jiggling up and down as if his belly's in pain. He's like, help, I'm in pain. And I've just gone, Kurt, I need help.
You're unbearable to play games with.
He hated it because every time he'd go anywhere and I'd fuck up a jump, I'd just be on the ground rolling with his little legs kicking.
I'd have left you.
Going, Kurt!
I'd have actually left you.
You've played games with me. I'm not that unbearable.
You're unbearable.
We played Sonic Superstars and I broke
that. You
were
unbearable.
Right at the end, Knuckles doing a glide during the end credits, getting stuck by the screen being moved and slowly spinning around.
You remember the, speaking of Sonic Superstars.
First time I'd ever played it.
Speaking of Sonic Superstars, you remember the Knack the Weasel boss fight we were stuck on for ages?
Yes.
So I did that the other day. And it made it into a complete and utter joke. Like an utter joke of a boss fight.
Right.
See, the thing is, I've now got all the Chaos Emeralds.
Oh, so you're using...
And I turned into Trip's dragon form.
Right.
And by pure chance, I don't know how I did it, I happened to do the level beforehand really well. I played it really well.
Right.
And I had the magnet thing on for nearly the entire... Like, I got the magnet power up.
Yep.
And managed not to lose it for pretty much the entire level. I had just shy of 400 rings when I got to Knack. So I just activated dragon form, and much like Super Sonic, it works on a 1 second equals one ring thing.
Yeah.
All you have to do is touch him, and it damages him when you're in super form.
Yeah.
And nothing he does can kill you. Because the only thing that can kill you in super form is a crushing death.
Yeah.
Well, the only crushing death is getting caught because the screen's chasing you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the only danger I had to avoid was that. But all the falling lava waterfalls, I was just going straight through them. Yeah. Be like, I'm a dragon, bitch! What did we learn from Game of Thrones? Fire cannot kill a dragon.
Exactly. Last thing about Assassin's Creed, then, was I eventually got rid of that game.
All good people should, because Assassin's Creed's a garbage franchise.
Yeah, well, it got to the point where I was playing it like, okay, this isn't actually that great a game, but I'll 100% it before I get all the trophies. And I try getting some of the trophies, and I don't normally get angry at video games anymore. And this was one time where I literally got to the point I thought I was going to smash my console, right? Because it wasn't my fault. And I know this sounds like a bad workman blaming his tools, but honestly, I don't get angry with games generally, even if I suck at them. No. I'm just like, you know what? I'll chill out. I've had fun. Whatever. This case, it was like, I'm trying to fucking complete this level. And it's where you have to do a level and you've got a girl following you. And the AI has to do most of the legwork and not get caught.
Oh.
But the AI was so shite that she'd get you caught. And she'd be like, why are you pulling the gun? And because she'd blame you, because the game assumes you fucked up, why would the AI fuck up? She'd be like, I told you not to call the guards. I didn't call the fucking guards. You called the fucking guards. And you'd end up sitting there going, I'm being gaslit by a shit video
by game. A computer.
Yeah, I'm like, and I was just like, I can't play this game anymore. It's infuriating me.
You never got the 100%.
No. I did remember there was one time where when you completed missions in that game, when you complete the mission, you got this heroic music, like a jingle. Like, da da da
da da da da da da da da da.
Well, this was more like a swelling heroic sort of orchestral tune, right? And there was one mission where it was like, you talk to this woman, this like old woman on a bridge. And she's like, I had a dream that these two men and one woman, and it's the only time you ever kill a woman in the game. and it's because you've been told to by a woman. She goes, these two blokes and this woman, they're planning against me. So can you do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's just based on a drink. Yeah, it's just a dream, but I know it's real. Cause
she's the real villain. You punt her off the brick.
That doesn't happen. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So, but that's the mission that comes up. So I go along, I kill the two guys. To be fair, they attack me. And then the third woman is just baking. The woman's just baking. Right?
Fucking hell. She doesn't
attack me. She's just baking. And I'm like, and it's
sure
like,
you
yeah,
had the right
that's
woman?
I did. It was like, that's the target on the heads up display. I'm like, I've got to kill. Really? All right. So I got behind her, I press the button, stab the knife through the throat, kills her instantly. Mission accomplished. Da, da, na, na, like heroic swell. I'm like, I'm not the good guy in this one. I murdered a woman who was just baking because some fucking haunted woman on a bridge dreamt that this woman might fucking backstab her. I'm not the hero. Don't play the fucking music for me right now.
Anyway, let's talk about Lineage.
Yes.
So this is a 2009 promotional thing. It's a prequel to Assassin's Creed 2 featuring Giovanni Auditore di Firenze, the father of Ezio Auditore di Firenze. And this is a... So it's filmed live-action actors on front of green-screen sets.
Yes.
With mixed results. Sometimes they look pretty good, and sometimes they look very uncanny valley.
Yes.
And very, like, just wrong and unsettling. There's one right before the... it gets assassinated and it's a big deal. Is it the Duke of something?
I think, it says it's the Duke.
There's one right before he gets assassinated that looks terrible. It's like a long shot of his assassin and Ezio sort of running to stop him. Mm. And he's got the big stick. And the green screen on that bit looked absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. So... yeah, it's all green screened pretty much. I don't know how many sets they built, but according to all the information I can find, almost all of it was done on green screen, and so they could use the environments from the game, which seem to be up rendered. But to be fair, they don't look like they're being transposed over an old video game. Some of the backgrounds hold up quite well; some others don't.
Yeah.
So actually, to be fair, there seems to have been quite a lot of effort put in, but this does lead to a certain amount of the shots looking good and other shots looking terrible.
Yeah.
There's a few really nice artistic shots in this. Like, some of them just look clean, really nice to look at. Others, there's like a really beautiful transition. When the Duke is murdered, he's on this like black and white square checkerboard floor, and that transitions into a chessboard that Ezio and his brother are playing. That transition's really well done. So there are some nice artistic sort of flourishes to this film. But overall, my main issue is with the story.
What story?
Yeah, so things happen in this, to be fair. But we don't really understand why. And I understand that this was a three-piece sort of...
Miniseries
released, I think, on YouTube. And those episodes... obviously, what the point of the story is to set up Assassin's Creed 2. The one thing it assumes is that you know the background of what Assassin's Creed is about to start with. So they don't explain or set up the Assassins. They don't even mention the Templars, to be fair. But I'm fairly certain the Templars have always been a big deal throughout
the years. Yeah, I'm assuming the guy in the black robe with the apple must have been a Templar, but
yeah,
they don't say that.
There's no mention of the Templars. But yeah, and when we see the Assassins, the ones that are hiring Giovanni... they don't mention that they're assassins. They just say secrets are made here and they die here. Okay. Right. But that's it. It's like there's no mention that they are a sect. There's no mention of, you know, what they're all about.
Yeah.
And I can understand that there could be an argument made by fans. I think it'd be wrong, but that if you, you know, why are you watching this anyway if you're not already a fan of Assassin's Creed? But you've got to remember, this was a promotional material for Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, like, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which, to be honest, isn't a direct correlation anyway. You know, which is, like, the 7th or 8th game in the series. This is the 2nd one.
Yeah.
And at this point, you should probably assume not everyone knows what your brand is all about.
Yeah, of course. What was Lineage released on? Was it like a, was it straight to streaming? Was it?
So it was released on YouTube in 2009. So very early in the YouTube time cycle, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, the first episode was released on 26th of October 2009, and the second and third parts were both released together on the 12th of November.
Okay.
And then the complete film was released 2 days after that. It was also it also had a DVD, and it doesn't mention it on Wikipedia, but it definitely has a Blu-ray release. I know because I own it. So there is a Blu-ray release out there, which is what this copy that we've just watched is sourced from.
Mm.
The blue, it may not show so much on the DVD copy. Bear in mind, this is a 2009 production. The Blu-ray definitely shows up some of the negatives of the filmmaking process.
You mean the fact it's live action on green screen?
Yeah, some of that, I mean, some of that may show up still on DVD, I don't know. But it definitely shows up on the Blu-ray. I think one of the main issues that I see with the Blu-ray is that it's definitely interlaced footage, not progressive. Because there's a blurring effect to certain shots and certain scenes.
Okay.
That are, I think, inherent from the source. So I don't think this was shot on cinema film, for example. I'm fairly certain this was shot on, like, at the time would have probably been top-end HD camcorders. But they're top-end HD camcorders at 1080i.
Right.
So it's not quite as clean as it could be.
No.
And that couldn't have helped when it came to doing the post-production. Something of interest, though, for you, Jamie, is that the company, Hybrid Technologies, were involved in this, and they had previously been involved in a few other productions that did very successful green screening.
Okay.
Which leads me to believe some of the green screen issues in this are inherent to the recording medium, like 1080i, not, you know, full HD, or not cinema film. Because they were also involved in the production of 300, Sin City, and Avatar.
Right.
So, it's not like this is like some dude in his basement with a green screen setup. This is a professional company that have, like, previous successes and not long afterwards bigger success with Avatar. So, I do find it odd that some of the green screen keying is off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably got a lot to do with, like, the age. You know, we thought we knew everything about green screen back then, but we most certainly did not. And also a lot of sort of arrogance about the ability of performers.
Yeah.
To do things like, it's that thing, isn't it? It's like, yeah, put me in this film where I have to do this. I can do that, and audiences will believe I can do it. And you're like, They won't, like.
Is there anything that stands out that you think didn't look right from the performance side?
It wasn't the performance as much. It was just the look of the film in general. Right. I wasn't interested in the film because I'm not interested in Assassin's Creed.
Sure.
And this does not do a good job of wrapping you into the story if you're not into Assassin's Creed.
Right.
There's nothing really that happens, like, at the start that grips you and goes, oh, I know you don't know this franchise, but come in and look at this story. That doesn't happen.
It's probably because it doesn't give you much of a lead in, as I say. It doesn't tell you about the assassins versus the Templars, isn't it?
But, like, there are bits. Like I said, some of it looks really good, to be fair, surprisingly good. But there's bits of it where it reminded me a lot of films like, if you've ever seen it, there's a film from 2008, I think it is, called Bitch Slap.
Right.
That I used to talk about on Jamie, Your Film Taste Sucks. And there's another film called Repo Chick, which I think is from around the same time, sort of the late 2000s. And both of those films are very, very low budget films, filmed with, you know, the sorts of budgets even we'd be able to raise.
Right.
And they are nearly entirely, especially Repo Chick, I think Bitch Slap has some real-world locations, but if I remember correctly, but I haven't seen it since about 2011, Repo Chick, I think, is entirely green-screen set.
Right.
And there's bits in that that reminded me of this because of the unnatural way that people move comparative to a green screen.
Yes.
Like, a few shadows don't move right.
Sometimes it's their position geographically compared to the floor. Sometimes doesn't 100% line up.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just perspective in general.
Yeah.
Sometimes they look too big, too small, etc. It's a fault in the actual filming technique, in my opinion. As in, it's not something I'm really interested in seeing now or again anytime soon.
Sure. I know the green screening in this is certainly better than it was on Gamebox 1.0. I'm not sure what budget was like for this, because obviously being that it's only a very short series, I don't believe they've ever published the production budget. It had certain amount of cost, because on here it says about 50% of the costumes are authentic period recreations,
leased
from Italy itself, and then the rest were crafted by a third-party studio. So they were hiring in costume from Italy itself.
Wow.
So, which would have added to the costs by, you know, by a long margin.
Yeah, the costumes were pretty cool. Like, obviously, Ezio's dressed very similar. Sorry, Giovanni is dressed very similar to Ezio in the game. Mm. And I can't remember exactly what Ezio looks like, but it looks very similar. Close to this. Maybe some slight tweaks in the uniform.
Yeah.
But I was very impressed with that level of attention to detail.
Yeah. I think the other problem with this as well, just to kind of wrap up on this short, not only does it not give you much of a satisfying introduction, it also doesn't give you a satisfying conclusion. The film basically ends on Giovanni's... It seems the people he's working for have turned on him. We don't yet know why. I'm guessing that comes to the fore in the games. And then he basically has to do an emergency exit from his family home.
Mm.
And then all we get is him walking down the street and going, oh, no, I must protect my family and, you know, find the culprit who has done this or whatever. Mm. And it's just, it comes up with the text to be concluded by your choices in the game or something like that.
Okay.
And you're like, so we don't actually get a conclusion. I thought we were going to at least get a conclusion to Giovanni's story.
Yeah.
So it'd be like the shorts were the beginning, middle and end of Giovanni's time as the assassin. And then you pick up as his son Ezio in the game. But we don't get the... I honestly thought he was going to die at the end of this to set up the game.
Right.
But he doesn't. He just... No. Walks through a fucking fireplace and then goes, hey, everything okay, I'm going to do it.
What? I don't remember that bit.
Well, that's the Cliff Notes version of Assassin's Creed Lineage. No, it's not. It's a silly voice. You think you would recommend this film?
No.
No.
No, I mean, maybe if you're a super hardcore Assassin's Creed fan, but from what I've seen, Assassin's Creed fans don't really care about revisiting the past. They want fancy new technology. I don't quite know how it's got the massive reputation it's got. It's got, you know, Assassin's Creed is held up as a really premier gaming franchise, and I just don't quite get it. And as for this film, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Certainly other companies are guilty of much more egregious things than this, but it just is irrelevant to me.
Fair enough.
I don't care that I've seen it. I don't care if I'd never seen it. My life wouldn't be any different. Nothing about it stands out in my opinion as like, you have to see it because there's this really great performance in it. Oh, you have to see it because the costumes are so original. Or, oh, you have to see it because the cinematography is amazing. It's just there. It just exists. And that makes sense. It's a promotional tool. This is essentially a long, expensive advert.
Yeah. See, I'm stuck. Let me think. It's either I don't recommend it or I only recommend it to fans. But I think I'm going to go with don't recommend. And the reason that I'm not going to recommend... is for what you said, I actually don't think... Because, again, it'd be recommending it to fans. I actually don't think Assassin's Creed fans give a shit.
No.
They want to play the latest game. They don't really care about watching the history of the series that they've bought into.
Yeah, and Ezio hasn't been a character in the game in about the last 10 games.
Yeah, and also, essentially, Assassin's Creed fans are the same as Call of Duty fans, in my mind. Maybe I'm wrong. Let us know in the comments if I'm wrong, but Call of Duty fans aren't going to go, oh, is there an adaptation from the first game? They don't care. It's not a storied series in the sense that they want to see the history.
Yeah.
It's not like a Nintendo or a Sega franchise where if you went, oh, we're going to do an adaptation of, I don't know, Legend of Zelda.
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. People would be like, wow, I want to, like Nintendo fans, certainly, I'd want to see something that deals with Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
But Assassin's Creed 2, oh, I want to see something that deals with Assassin's Creed 2. Not really.
Okay, so it sounds like the first of our three entries is a no-ho on the ro-ho.
Yep.
Let's see if Mega Man X fares any better.
See you after the break.
Get me, X. The time has come to prove your mettle against me. This fight will decide the fate of all Reploids. The battle may be over, but the war is just beginning.
Okay, so up next we're talking about Mega Man X, The Day of Sigma.
Yep.
He's a real Sigma male.
Sigma male.
And this, I can only assume, is also a prequel of some kind to a specific game in the Mega Man franchise.
So, yeah.
Because if it's not, it makes no sense.
Sure. So, yeah, I'll give you that rundown. Day of Sigma is... it was actually included in a game called... Well, in Japan, it was called Irregular Hunter X, which was released in 2006, and this was an unlockable extra on that game as well. It's also included, if you want to buy it now, there is the Mega Man X Anniversary Collection and the Mega Man X Anniversary Collection 2, which it appears on, but you don't have to unlock it, it's just on there.
Okay.
It basically plays out as the precursor to the story of Irregular Hunter X.
Okay.
Which I think is just called Mega Man X. Irregular Hunter X, I believe, and I'm saying this as someone who doesn't really know much about Mega Man, I believe it was a reboot. So in the West, it was called Maverick Hunter X, and it was meant to be a reboot of the Mega Man X series.
Okay.
I do not know the difference between Mega Man and Mega Man X as a series.
No, neither do I. I know there is a difference, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think they've got like three or four concurrent running different types of Mega Man.
Yeah.
Basically, they've got enough for a fucking MCU-style dimension-crossing Avengers-style thing, like Mega Avengers they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know much about Mega Man at all. It's a franchise I've never played. This was darker than I was expecting it to be. I thought Mega Man was a very, you know, because of its age and because it's all brightly coloured and whatnot, I thought it was much more of a... And I do know that the main villain in it is someone called Dr. Wily.
Yeah.
Who kind of just looks like evil Einstein.
Yeah, so you have Dr. Light, who's the good scientist that makes Mega Man.
Mm. And Dr. Wily.
Dr. Wily, who makes all the evil robots.
And I'd always kind of just assumed, looking just the few bits of Mega Man I've ever seen, I'd always assumed it was just like a classic platformer with a sort of cheesy, simple storyline, like sort of a Crash Bandicoot type thing. I thought Dr. Wily was basically like a Dr. Cortex type thing.
Yeah, it is. It's more of a run and gun shooter as well at the same time. It actually crosses those two genres nicely.
Right.
It's known to be very hard, very technical. Like you have to be very precise.
Really?
In your timing, like, yeah, you know how people say how hard Rayman is?
Yeah.
Mega Man is essentially the almost, I suppose, a precursor to how difficult that style of platforming is.
Right, okay.
Having said that, I haven't played a lot of Mega Man to be able to say that for myself.
I've played a lot of Rayman.
I've played quite a bit of Rayman, yeah.
Go and free the Electoons, Rayman.
There's a few series like YouTube channels online that I watch, like Game Grumps. I always mention them if I'm going to talk about that, but I watch them the most. And they've played Mega Man a few times, so I am aware of how those NES games work.
Yeah.
Or NES, if you're in America. Or Famicom, if you're in Japan.
Yeah, I was surprised by how many just things were in this. I didn't think there would be. I honestly, it was just colourful, you know, robots versus type thing.
Yeah.
This plays like a manga-infused, brightly coloured Ghost in the Shell / Blade Runner.
Yes.
The word Reploid is thrown around a lot, and if that ain't a reference to replicants, I don't know what is. If I was Ridley Scott, I'd be looking into a lawsuit right about now. What did you think, Rostifer?
I agree that you can't really dive into this as a short unless you know the story, or at least the characters of Mega Man X. And the reason being that it literally just throws characters in there that if they weren't, you know, connected to a series like this, they would actually have to introduce. But in this, they don't. There's a character called Chill Penguin.
Yeah.
Who is a robot penguin man. And he has a line where he says, they're talking about someone trying to hack. And he goes, and he's got a voice, it's kind of a bit like that. Or it's got a similar-ish sort of voice to that. But then when he says hack, he goes, hack?
What about the Mechanoid security program?
A system that complicated really shouldn't be so easy to hack.
Yeah, Mr. Penguin, let's get on with this. And he just walks in, you're like, who is this? Why is there a fucking penguin? What's going on?
It feels like it's very much playing on the idea that you already know it.
Yep. There's also a character, I think it's Storm Eagle, just literally walks in and goes, hey, I've been assigned to other duties, but now those duties are over, so let's get on with some shit. Think of us like a built, ripped man's body with an eagle's face. You're like, who are you? Where are you from? He does nothing for the rest of the story. He's like in one scene and then in the background of another, and then he's just never seen again. You're like, why did you introduce a man eagle if you weren't going to pay him off in the story somewhere? Like, what the fuck is he doing here? The other thing they do is there's a character called Vile. Now, he is shown in this, but he's almost not there. He's like, they revealed that, I'm guessing, by the looks of this, he apparently was the main villain of the Mega Man X games, I think.
Oh, so not Sigma.
No, it's the character who looks like Boba Fett. With the V on his head. That's Vile. And apparently he's... Because it's come up on the fan wiki that he's like the main supporting villain. But he's almost not in this. So I don't really... I'm guessing he must just be the main villain of the game. Yeah, so if you've got any connection to the Mega Man games, you know, let us know. Are we missing anything? Are these characters at all important in any way, shape or form? They just seem to be thrown in there as far as just watching it by itself is concerned. Looking at the voice actors, there's no one here who jumps out as someone that I've seen before. But what I will say is there is an actress that I've not heard of before. Let's have a look at her. Her name is Angie Beers.
Okay.
Sounds like she's an alcoholic. Looks like she does the voices on a few Mega Man games, though. So it looks like they've carried the voice actors for the games over into this short.
And who did she play in this?
She played additional voices.
Oh.
But she's on her IMDb, she's listed as quite a few of the Mega Man games. So that's all the trivia I could really find on this. I think it's about 23 minutes long.
Yeah, as a little promotional short, this isn't actually that bad. No. It's a little too long, to be honest. I think this stuff I'd have cut out. But then again, I don't know the series or the particular game this is based on. So for all I know, everything in this was super relevant.
Yeah. I mean, what's quite interesting about it is that there is quite a bit of action. There is quite a bit of intrigue in the way the story builds. It is obviously incomplete because
this leads into the game.
Yeah, so obviously there's... But it wouldn't actually require a lot to pad it out to feature length, I don't think. You need to do a proper introduction, introduce who the fuck Mega Man is, or X as he's called. Weirdly enough, they never call him Mega Man, they call him X.
Yeah, specifically. I noticed that.
Introduce, you know, his relationship with Zero, because they're just like, sort of thrown in there, and yeah, of course they're bros, but you're like, are they? I don't know.
Literally, I've seen pictures of Zero before,
yeah.
And until he spoke in this, I'd always assumed it was a female character.
Yeah, because it's got a very gruff, manly voice, but it's got long blonde hair, which normally, you know, with something like this would indicate a female. But it's also the two green circles for boobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, which, again, is not unusual for a Japanese production.
Maybe we're just not being very forward-thinking.
Maybe. Maybe we're
at fault, Rory.
We are old, JB.
We're not old. Calm the fuck down.
We're ancient.
We haven't reached 40 yet. We're fine.
Hang on, let me just put my false teeth back in. It's hard for me to say anything more. It's kind of zany, and I like that. I wouldn't mind if they were to pad it out with a proper intro and a proper outro.
Mm.
It would make a decent enough second act.
Yeah.
Of, you know, a more complete production. And I guess again, if I played the game, maybe I would get that from playing the game itself. Other than that, other than the odd, like, here's a Birdman, get on with it, here's a fucking chill penguin, get on with it. Other than that stuff, it is quite generic.
This is essentially an opening cutscene for a game.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
But we've not played the game.
We've not played the game.
We've just watched the opening cinematic.
Yeah.
Well, that was Mega Man X Day of Sigma.
Yeah. Anything on there that you think you could recommend?
I've no idea, to be quite honest. I mean, you can't recommend it to a general audience because it's not a complete thing.
No.
It is literally an opening cutscene. And even then, I mean, I don't know the Mega Man games, so I don't know them well enough to know whether, you know, is this vital viewing that you must see to understand the complexities and the deep narrative themes of the game? Or is it more likely just a nice piece of bonus anime that actually is irrelevant and means nothing?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with no, not because it's bad in and of itself. As you say, it is incomplete as its own piece of media, but the fact is, if you are going to watch it, if you are a big enough fan that you want to watch it, then it appears that it is included on that Maverick Hunter X game and on the Mega Man Anniversary Collections 1 and 2.
Mm.
So I guess if you want to buy the games, you'd have watched it anyway because it comes with the games as they currently exist. If you're going to do it, I'd do it that way.
That's 2 out of 3. Let's strap in and prepare for our third entry in our second ever Run the Gauntlet, Ratchet and Clank.
Life of Pi.
And that brings us to our final film of the evening, Ratchet and Clank, Life of Pi. This little ditty is an animated movie from the year of 2021.
I'm glad you added the episode 2000.
2000. 2021. Wow, okay, I wasn't expecting you to say it was that new. That's after the film, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Who knew there was still so much interest in Ratchet and Clank? And where did this air? Like, what sort of thing was this for? Was this like on a game disc? Was it on DVD? Streaming?
It's currently on streaming in Canada exclusively through a subscription to a service called Crave.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Crave.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's not really a lot of information on it. I don't really know
why it even exists.
Yeah. So everything I'm looking at here says it's a short film. But I'd read prior it was meant to be like a pilot for a series.
It definitely feels like an episode of a series.
Yeah.
Of like a children's TV series.
Produced by Mainframe Studios, formerly known as Rainmaker Entertainment and PlayStation Originals, the same companies who were previously responsible for the 2016 film. Life of Pi is not considered canon to the video games.
All right.
What's the point then?
I care so much about the canon of Ratchet and Clank.
while I agree with you on that, like it doesn't really matter that much, it makes you wonder why make a 23-minute short that has nothing to do, like that is not canon to the game.
Is that a thing where maybe fans have just decided it's not canon because it, you know, it never became a series and we just don't want to deal with it? So
it might be, or it might just be because the events of it aren't referenced in any sequels. I don't know when the last Ratchet and Clank game was made.
No.
But according to this, though, it was made in 2019, but for some reason was released in 2021.
Okay.
Don't know why there's that delay. That's pretty much all I can find. There's not a lot of information about this film.
No.
I did like the fact that it seems to be the same voice actors from the games, at least. Though I know that Jim Ward, who is the voice of Captain Quark, this is his last time playing the character of Captain Quark. So I don't know if they've recast him or if the character just doesn't appear anymore. But the fact that they said it's his last time playing it would suggest that he's no longer voicing the character for whatever reason.
Yeah.
James Arnold Taylor is the voice of Ratchet.
Yep. And Tidus from Final Fantasy X.
Yep. And he was also Leonardo in the CGI TMNT movie from 2000. What?
What?
Final Fantasy is not better than TMNT.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's orders of magnitude better.
That's all I wanted. I just wanted an orders of magnitude. That's
Final Fantasy X is one of the greatest games ever made, and TMNT is a film people forgot existed.
Final Fantasy X is not one of the greatest games.
Yes, it is. It's literally considered one of the greatest games ever made.
By who?
By everyone!
Except, well, I've never heard of anyone who's played it except for you.
Bullshit, you don't know anyone who's played Final Fantasy X. That's literally not physically possible. It's like Final Fantasy X is like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You never need to go more than 6 steps to find someone who's played it.
Well, I suppose not, because I've got you.
Exactly. Just because you've never played it, but we've already established that
no one else I know has ever played it.
I bet if we go on the VGMP Discord right now and say who's played Final Fantasy X before, at least one person has.
Right.
So you do know people who've played it.
Yeah, but we had at least 3 people say they'd played Daytona USA, which means that if we do get one person, so they've played Final Fantasy X, Daytona USA is 3 times more popular by that metric, and you said that no one cares about Daytona USA.
They don't.
Except for the fact Except that for it's you. Incredibly popular. I didn't want to get back into that argument. Let's leave that as it is.
No, because this is the only exciting thing we've done all day.
Armin Shimerman is in this, anyone who ironically doesn't play Captain Quark, which would have been hilarious, but he did play Quark in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and he plays the main villain.
Also played Andrew Ryan in Bioshock, and the principal in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes. At the very least with this one, unlike Mega Man, which was obviously just, even though it was the voice actors from the games, they're not necessarily known in the same way as sort of Hollywood voice actors, or at least not in the same way as someone like Armin Shimerman, for example, who's been in a lot of massive successes. And unlike Assassin's Creed Lineage, which had mostly sort of relative unknowns, not complete unknowns, but relative unknowns from Canada, this is probably the biggest production, I think. I would assume this is the biggest production out of the 3 we've watched today, Jamie. What do you think?
This is the best thing we've watched.
I agree with you on that.
Because it's actually a complete thing.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the production size, I imagine the quality of the CGI means it would have a certain amount of cost to it, but also the cast.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't think that the other two are less than this because of the budget. Far from it. Their problems are generally that they are incomplete narratives, which is something that this film, at least to its absolute credit, this is a complete story.
Yeah, it's just a little short ditty. It very much feels like an episode of a children's film.
Yeah.
Lots of slapstick comedy, lots of pun-type jokes.
Yeah.
But it was complete and whole, and we watched the whole thing.
Is there anything in this that caught your attention in a very positive or a very negative way? Was like, you know, was there any particular beautiful shots, or was there
just it was funnier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Still wasn't, it wasn't like hilarious or anything.
No, it's more amusing, I'd say, than it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's for kids.
Yeah.
It's for kids.
I remember playing the remasters of Ratchet and Clank because I had an ex-girlfriend who had played the games when she was younger. And she was like, oh, have you ever played Ratchet & Clank? I was like, nope, never played a PlayStation 2. We got the games and the remastered versions. Must have been PS3. and I played them there. And they're okay. I really don't know what the big... I don't know what it is about Ratchet & Clank that caught people's attention. Maybe I was the wrong age or I caught it out of its zeitgeist. But when I played the first Ratchet & Clank, it was basically an open world Sonic Adventure 2. They had grind mechanics, which were copied whole cloth from Sonic Adventure 2.
Right.
But it was like, there were levels, but you could go in and out of them at will. Whereas obviously Sonic Adventure 2, it was a very linear progression path.
Right, I see what you mean, yeah.
But yeah, there were defined levels. So it wasn't open world like GTA style. It was more that you could just enter and exit levels at will.
So you didn't necessarily have to finish them in one go, like if you got stuck.
I think in fact it was to allow for backtracking. So you did certain amount of stuff, but you didn't have the skills to complete everything in a level.
Yeah.
So you'd have to unlock those at a later point in the game and then come back to complete extra challenges. But yeah, it was a fun enough game. But when I played it, I was like, and it is well made. It's, you know, Naughty Dog stuff generally is well made, even if it's kind of a take on something else. It was obviously a step up from at least the first Crash Bandicoot, which is the only one of those I've ever played, which was just a run into the screen game with a bit of 2D side on perspective.
That's only select levels.
Well, it's
Crash Bandicoot is mostly all running. Right, never mind. I realise what you meant.
Running into the screen. And then sideways.
Yeah, yeah, I realise what you meant. It's because there's select levels where you run towards camera.
Oh, okay,
which
yeah.
Which are both very fun to play, but also endlessly frustrating.
That's basically Mickey Mania on the PlayStation. Now you've played it on the PlayStation, Mickey's Wild Ride.
Wild Adventure.
Wild Adventure, yeah. That does the same. It's 2D platforming, and then there's bits where you run into or away from the screen. Whereas something at the same time as Crash Bandicoot, pretty much, you had Super Mario 64, which was a proper full-on 3D game.
Crash Bandicoot's...
No. No.
You Crash Bandicoot no. is orders of no, magnitude no, sorry, better you're than wrong. Super Mario.
No. You're wrong on that one.
I'm not wrong on that you're, one.
You are wrong on that one. There is honestly...
It's a subjective opinion.
You might prefer Crash Bandicoot by orders of magnitude more than Mario, but Super
Mario... Mario is so ugly. Mario 64 is such an ugly game.
On Crash Bandicoot 1 is horrific looking, so you can't really use graphics as your defense.
No, it's... Then again, the last time I played it was the remastered version.
Yeah. Play the actual first one. It's awful. And that's fine because of the era and the hardware in which it was made. But Super Mario 64 literally changed gaming and Crash Bandicoot did not. There is a big difference between the...
How did Mario change gaming?
3D platforming, it rewrote the rules.
Bubsy.
No, Bubsy 3D did not rewrite the rules of 3D gaming.
Yeah, it did.
And you know this because you
owned it. Sonic Adventure.
Sonic Adventure was afterwards.
No, Sonic always beats Mario. It's a rule of the universe.
I'm afraid on this occasion...
False.
Mario got the 3D...
Propaganda.
...gameplay design down first.
Nintendo propaganda.
I will be honest with you, though. There's not as much in it as people say. There's only about a year or two.
President Sega. Rory's betrayed you. Rory's
betrayed you. Stop calling out to President Sega.
You need to come and assassinate him with your Gundam wing.
With your Gundam wing?
Right, I hate to pick up old words, but I'm just going to say, I just got to point this out. Fine, I'm going to let you have Super Mario 64 because I've won this battle, so it's fine.
Oh, so you've lost this battle, but you've got to win the war,
yeah.
Is that? Okay.
Final Fan... I've just looked up sales figures.
Yep.
Now, I can't find sales figures for Daytona, USA.
Yes, it's an arcade machine.
Well, there was a console release.
Yes, there was.
So we have to go console to console. Because everyone knows arcade games aren't canon.
Yes.
They don't exist.
What do you mean not canon?
They're not canon to the real world.
Yes, they are.
No, in this new timeline, they've been erased from existence.
Okay, are we Doctor Who-ing this? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Are we going to have
with you need to understand the mavity of the situation. So I'm going console to console here.
Yeah, go on.
Final Fantasy X.
It's not going to be an accurate representation.
Sold double the amount of copies.
Yep.
Not of Daytona, USA, but double the amount of entire Sega Saturn sold in the entire world.
Yep.
So that doesn't count how many people had Daytona USA.
Right.
Literally, it sold more than double the entire amount of Sega Saturn consoles that exist.
You've got to think... There's two things on that. Number one, the amount of Sega Saturn sold versus the amount of PlayStation 2s, there is orders of magnitude more sales available to the PlayStation 2.
The PS2s. I don't know if it still is, but at one point was the most successful console of all time.
Yeah, as much as I don't think it earned it, it definitely was. But on the flip side of that, you can't then go ignoring the main hardware that the game is known for.
I 100% can, because nobody likes arcades. No one has liked arcades since 1994.
Which is when Daytona USA came out in them.
Yeah.
And has been incredibly successful.
Who cares? Seriously, arcade. I actually have a real problem with arcades, because arcade games are all scams.
No, they're not.
They are all designed to just milk money from children.
No, you're thinking of gambling mechanics, which do it for old people.
I'm thinking of games like Time Crisis and shit.
Oh.
Which ridiculously spike the difficulty just as an excuse to get more
money.
Actually,
I don't think Time Crisis does that much. The ones that...
Time Crisis 2 does.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I've got Time Crisis 2.
Oh, jeez.
I've done it. I've finished it.
I'm thinking more like you and I agree on that when it comes to things like Street Fighter or King of Fighters and those sort of 2D one-on-one fighting games. And the ones that the one I will 100% agree with you doing that is Mario Kart GP. Mario Kart GP is a fucking rip-off.
Right.
From start to finish. And I'll tell you why.
We've got that on the seafront. I've played it. I went on a date and played it.
Yeah, yeah.
You pay £1 and you get to play one course.
Yes. That's the way it's a rip-off. For example, Dating USA, it's basically one payment for one course, right? Which sounds the same. The difference is that Daytona USA never sells itself as a Grand Prix. It goes, you're paying to play a level. You pay the money, you play the level, and you get wherever you get in it, depending on your skill. And it doesn't unnecessarily spike difficulty either. It's just your skill versus the machine. Mario Kart GP has the same, I suppose, issue, as you could call it, from something like Mario Kart 64, which is a game I love.
Mm.
But it has what we call rubber band physics. In racing game, rubber band physics is where if you're ahead, then certain characters behind you are given...
artificial speed boost.
Yeah, things like that. So that in a reason to keep the race more exciting.
Yeah.
Mario Kart 64 does this in insane ways. There's times where the computer can go at speeds that are literally impossible to the player. So, yeah, and Mario Kart GP has that, but then as you say, I remember instead of being like £1 or 50p to play, it's £2 to play. You put in the...
Mario Kart?
Yeah, at least when...
Not
it,
when I went in.
Oh, when it first came out, it was £2 to play. Right. So I put in the £2, I came first on the first race of a GP, of a four-level GP, I came first. So you can't do any better than that. And then it was like, yay, you're on to the next race. Please give another £2 for the next race. And I'm like... No, fuck off. Like, if you told me it was £2 for a race, I wouldn't feel ripped. Yeah. But because you've told me it's £2 for four races, and then only told me after the first race, I'm going to have to basically pay £2 for each race. It's £8 for one GP.
Yeah.
You can go stuff yourself. So, yeah, I was very not happy with that game.
There's an easy solution to this, though.
You are.
Play fucking games at home like a regular 21st century human.
Well, I do.
Good.
I've been playing Bomb Rush Cyberpunk recently.
Arcades are for trash people.
No.
I'm not even joking. The arcades at the seafront now, do you know what they're more used for more than playing
games?
They're
just gambling.
For homeless people to take shelter from the rain.
Yeah.
That is what they're used for now.
Well, it's what's quite bad is, and I understand this is a sign of the changing time, but it is quite sad. If you go in the arcades now, instead of being like awash with like really cool new, playing experience, arcade.
Oh
playing
man, they're all so old. At least here, obviously.
Well, some of them are. There have got some new arcade machines in some of them now. They've done a little bit of a refresh. But what they've done with the refresh is they've brought in some new arcade games, but they've made half of the entire arcade in every arcade a gambling establishment.
Yeah. What I like to do in an arcade, if there's going to be arcades, I want to play games I physically can't play at home.
Yeah.
I.e., giant air hockey. Now, I used to have a mini air hockey table, but it's not the same thing. But giant air hockey tables, or they've got one in one of the amusements at Southend. And it's just a first-person shooter with dinosaurs in it.
Yep.
So you've got a water cannon. And the cannon actually fires water at the screen.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, we're going to die of electrocution. But below that, because obviously the water's got to fall somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Below is a bunch of plants. So as you play, you water the plants.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm assuming what happens is the screen detects the pressure of the water hitting it.
Must have some sort of sensor on there, Well, that's interesting. But
that's something I can't do at home, because, you know, I'd ruin my fucking house.
Yeah.
Or jack my water bill up so high.
But that's why I'm confused. Like, if you watch... Don't ever watch this film, but there's a film called Cucciolo. It's a Spanish film. And the only thing that's interesting about this really awful film is there's a sequence that takes place in Sega World.
Yeah.
In London. And in there, you can see several arcade games, one of which is one that my dad had played, and it also appears on an old episode of Games Master from the 90s. Basically, it's a flying game, but you're on a bicycle. You're cycling this bike to keep yourself in the air, which like not only cycles the wheels, but flaps the wings. And as you go, you think either go through rings or collect stuff in the air. And as you go through, if you stop pedaling or something like that,
you dip.
You dip, and like the machine actually dips with you, so you get the feeling of actually going down or going up or whatever it is that the game is doing. You can't do that at home.
Yeah.
Do more of that. Like, this is why the arcades aren't doing that well. All they're doing is
nothing novel at them.
Yeah. One thing that they've got that's still novel at the moment is light gun games.
Well, yeah, ironically, light gun games have become novel after not being novel for a little while, because back in like the PS2 era, you could play light gun games at home.
Yeah.
But now you can't anymore unless you've got a CRT TV.
Yeah. You need the right type of display, because... Yeah. LCD screens can't give the feedback the light guns need.
The problem is they've all become rip-offs. I played the new House of the Dead in one of the arcades.
It doesn't feel like a unique experience, does it?
It just feels like bullet hell.
Yep.
The game is... I'm not saying this isn't a get good. The game is unwinnable without putting loads of money in.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a shame, because if they just made some more skillful and more unique cabinets, it probably would survive longer.
But it's because they want money.
Yeah, yeah. Money, anyway, sorry, money. We've gone off on a bit of a thing, because Ratchet & Clank does not have an arcade game, as far as I'm aware. Because I like the arcade experience, and I honestly don't have much to say about this film. It's good looking. The version I got, for some reason, the sound was overly bassy, so I might have to look at trying to see what happened to the sound file on it, because it looks fine, but the sound is a little bit muffled and overly bass heavy, which meant that when the music kicked in the credits, Jamie's poor speaker was like...
It's all about the bass, no treble.
Oh, treble.
Did you say no gerbil?
Yes. I thought that's what the song was.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You lie.
I always sing no gerbil, though, because it's funnier.
Of course you do.
I'm not annoying. Even my laugh's annoying. Okay, so is there anything specific you want to talk about with Ratchet & Clank Life of Pi? Anything that stuck out?
The fact Americans call pizza pie pisses me off. I want to talk about that.
Oh, shit.
That's
why
it's called Life of Pi.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, when you said it, and I was like, oh, there's going to be a pie somewhere, like a cherry pie.
I did wonder
pie.
Where the pie was meant to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And as soon as he said pizza dimension, I was like, here we go. Yeah, they call it a pie. That's why it goes, when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Or when they
but
say
it's
things
made
like,
in Canada. Why did...
Yeah, I think they do it in Canada
as
well.
Are they that stupid?
Or in America, they'll say stuff like, I'll pick you up a pizza pie or something like that.
But a pie,
but it's not a pie.
Has...
A pie has to have a crust on top.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, there's no top crust on a pizza. That's... It wouldn't be a pizza.
I'm sure they call it something lame, like an open-faced pie. Like how they call, you know, have you heard about naked burritos?
No.
So it's healthier. They are nice.
It's
they
the
are
innards
nice.
Of it's a burrito.
It's
the
innards
the
of a burrito without the wrap. It's not a fucking burrito then. The thing that makes it a burrito is the wrap.
That's just
now you're eating beef and lettuce in a cheese sauce.
That's a chili.
Kind of, yes. Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
you're basically eating chili con carne.
It's not a burrito at all.
Yeah, the thing that makes it the burrito
is the
wrap. The thing that makes naked tacos. The thing that makes it a taco is the taco shell, dumbass. Taco shell.
Can we make a naked lasagna and it's just tomatoes and cheese in a... Like, just without any form.
It's honestly like... It's like me serving a plate of minced beef and tomato sauce to you and saying it's naked ravioli. Oh, I'm sorry you've caught this beef at a time when it's undressed. How rude. It's like making bread and butter pudding with no bread. It's just a stick of butter. It's naked bread and butter pudding.
Be
Fuck
good
off.
For the diabetics, though.
I'm not sure it would.
That's not good for anyone, is it? Just eating fat by itself.
Just a whole stick of butter.
Well, that's what he does in Wild Hogs.
It's what they do in...
right off the stick.
What they do in Big Bang Theory when they have to go to the Arctic for that expedition. He melts sticks of butter in their hot chocolates. They've got to consume 5,000 calories a day just to maintain body weight. Yeah, I wish I had to eat 5,000 calories a day just to maintain body weight.
Get yourself down to a Pizza Express and don't sweat. That is the British way.
I think you'll all find the best pizza in the world is Pizza Time. A little tiny pizza shop 5 minutes from my house.
Yes. Anyway, so Ratchet and Clank. Let's wrap this up. Ratchet and Clank Life of Pi.
Yeah, fine. Check it out.
Yeah?
Yeah, go on. Why not?
Hey,
put it on for your kids.
Yeah. I think I agree. It's much more of a kids thing than it will be for adults. But if you're a fan of Ratchet and Clank, or you just want something fun to watch that will, you know, won't offend, will just be a good, enjoyable 25 minutes. Yeah, Ratchet and Clank Life of Pi. Very good. So, overall, we've got a double no to Assassin's Creed Lineage. Unfortunately, it just didn't do anything for anyone who's not a fan, and fans of Assassin's Creed just wouldn't give a shit.
A double no to Mega Man X.
Yep.
Day of Sigma.
Yep. Which
Day of the Sigma males.
Yeah, which, while it has a certain amount of entertainment value for fans, if you're going to watch it, you'll watch it in the game it's included with. And Ratchet and Clank Life of Pi got a double yes. So
hey.
So, hurrah. That's our takes. So thank you very much for joining us on VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast, for our first Run the Gauntlet of this season. We are hoping to do three. There'll be another one later in the year, and then there'll be one at the end of the year called Run the Baubles, which will be for our Christmas special, because of course I had to make a slight pun out of it just to upset Jamie. You can catch us on all good podcasting apps, such as Spotify, Apple Music, etc., etc. Wherever you get your jazz, you'll get us there. We are currently releasing every week, but our new releases are every other week, and you'll also get our VGMP retro episodes come out every other week, which will be some of our early episodes slightly rejigged and retooled just to basically reduce any run times and bring them up to code. So you guys can enjoy those. If you've not checked out the original VGMP releases, then you can check them out there. You can also check both me and Jamie out on STC, Second Take Cinema, which is our sister show where we deal with films that are not anything to do with video games and are to do with films that we find either artistically interesting or just films that we want to give a second take to that we either enjoyed or didn't enjoy. And you can also check Jamie out on Haunted, the audio drama, which is a narrative fiction, kind of similar to X-Files crossed with Doctor Who, but in this case, it is about the paranormal, and there is a continuing storyline that is coming up towards its third season, and you can find that on all good podcasting apps, either looking up Haunted the Audio Drama, or you can look up Impala Films, and they'll appear there. If you want to talk to us a little bit and get into the discussion, please join us on our Discord. You can find that on our website, www.vgmovie.co.uk. If you jump on there, please do come and say hi, and we would love to have a bit more of an open talk and feedback with our fans. So it's completely free.
Please come on there and tell this fool that you've played Final Fantasy X.
And play this other fool that you played Daytona USA and where to send his mum around at the arcades. I don't know why.
Not one person is going to come back and say they played Daytona.
Someone already did.
Except for fucking Concord.
Concord is my man.
Concord is against me. He's betrayed me.
Brave, sweet Concord. You will not have died in vain.
Join me, Concord.
Game over, yeah!
Cyberpunk Studios.